Now, to take us into our message today and our little ceremony today, a little Daniel Namath. So before we get into our talk, we have a very important little ritual ceremony to perform today, because today we formally install the members of our Board of Trustees for Unity of Fox Valley Church. And I want to start out first and foremost by acknowledging the two outgoing members, two people who have served for the past 3 years. And these are Judy DeVoe and Stacy Ferguson. We are so grateful for the gifts that you have shared over the past 3 years. And we celebrate that with you. And when we get to the part of blessing the board, please know that you are included in this. And now I would like to invite board members, as I call your name, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself because that will bring you up in a, you know, in a more prominent position on the screen and people will be able to see you. And so our board members for the next 12 months, this body consists of Eric Haig, who has been our president for the past year and has graciously agreed to continue to serve in the role of president of the board for the next year. Diane Crompton, who is our new vice president serving on the board. Carl Strang, who continues now, will go into his third year as treasurer of the board. Bonnie Burns, just recently elected, and she has graciously acquiesced to being the secretary of the board. And our two remaining members are Perry Hurt and Larry Schaefer. And so I'm going to read this part to you, board members, and I invite you to listen, and then I will individually call you out and just asking you to affirm with an I do or yes, I will, whatever is more comfortable for you. Eric Haig, Diane Crompton, Carl Strang, Bonnie Burns, Perry Hurt, and Larry Schaefer. You have been called by Spirit to serve the unity of Fox Valley family as a member of the Board of Trustees. Eric, do you now agree to answer this call and serve on the board in this special ministry?
I do.
Diane, do you now agree to answer this call and serve on the board in this special ministry?
I do.
Carl, do you now agree to answer this call and serve on the board in this special ministry?
I do.
Bonnie, do you now agree to answer this call and serve on the board in this special ministry?
I do.
Perry, do you now agree and to answer this call and serve on the board in this special ministry?
I do.
And Larry, do you now agree to answer this call and serve on the board in this special ministry?
I do.
Okay. For like 3 seconds of bedlam, no, I'm not going to do that. You could show visually your appreciation first by applauding. And secondly, I'm going to ask all of you, just as we bless the children, recognizing the gifts that they bring to us by their innocence and their sense of wonder and everything else, we now extend this blessing to our board of directors. And I will confer it, but with the understanding that you are all joining in. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We behold Christ within you and know that you are empowered to do great things. And so it is. Well, if they were normally, they would be standing on the platform and I would invite them to take a seat. But instead, I'll invite them just to go back and mute themselves again. Hardly seems fair, right? I want to open the message today with an old story about a breakfast conversation between a dad and his son. And the son asks his dad for help because he was given a homework assignment. He's supposed to write a one-page essay on the difference between contribution and commitment. And so he asks his dad to explain the difference. And his father just hesitates for a moment and then says to his son, "Look at your plate. What do you see?" And the son looks down and looks up and says, "Bacon and eggs." The dad then says, "Those eggs that you're looking at, that's a contribution that a hen made. The bacon, though, was a commitment by the pig." Every year, we introduce and install our new board of trustees. But I am officially designating this Sunday, the Sunday on which we do this, rather, as Covenant Sunday. Because like so many ceremonies and rituals, it's too easy to just do something that becomes routine and go through the motions. And it really is important that we understand what we just witnessed and not to take it lightly. What was just manifested was an expression of an appreciation for two outgoing members who have served the past 3 years and a new commitment by six people to serve over the next year. You may call this a pledge, a promise, an agreement, or an oath. But today I want to go with a word that I think is way, way, way more significant and way more powerful, and that word is covenant. The word covenant goes back not hundreds, but thousands of years. It is, in fact, an ongoing, reoccurring theme found throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And I could read from or point out covenants that God made with Adam and Eve, Abram, Jacob, Moses, and many others. Jesus spoke of a new and everlasting covenant. And if I were to summarize what all of these sacred covenants held in common, it would be this phrase: I will be your God, and you will be my people. Part of the deal, then, is that God would be with his people forever and take care of them. And for their part, the people simply had to sign on, not stray and idolize other gods or other things, or frankly, themselves. After the great flood, God makes an agreement with Noah. And basically what God promises is that never again will the earth be flooded and virtually every living creature wiped out. But that underlying part remains and is understood. I will be your God and you will be my people, with both parties signing on. But the reason I'm pointing out this covenant in particular is that it carried a special rider. God says that as a reminder both to his people and to himself, he will put a rainbow in the clouds. And what I like about this is that it establishes the rainbow that is in effect God's signature on the contract. It's a visible representation of God's promise, which I think is really pretty cool. Because this visible expression is really an important thing. Native Americans smoked a peace pipe. Even with written contracts, the deal so often is sealed with a handshake. We profess marriage vows in front of witnesses. Why is it so destructive when a marriage vow is broken? Because the hurt extends beyond that couple. It's shared by loved ones that are in the circle, and even to a certain extent, to society in general. When I was a small boy, some of us became blood brothers. We would cut our thumbs and then rub our thumbs together symbolizing through the exchange of blood that we were true brothers. Just a simple pat on the head or an I love you as you walk by somebody has meaning. Say what you will about Catholicism, but the sacraments are signs of God's agreement or deal with you. Or at least that's what they were intended to be. Many people today, maybe a growing number of people, think that a person's word just isn't what it used to be. People seem to opt in and out of things and relationships on a whim. And sometimes when a promise is made to you, someone might offer some advice and say, if I were you, I'd get that in writing. But the truth is the world really does revolve around agreements, promises, and contracts. Every law of physics is an honoring by the universe of a divine contract. And it's an understanding of that contract that allows scientists to understand it and then do their part, which allows us to do something magnificent like put a man on the moon. There are expectancies that have to be honored that we are not just accustomed to, but that we really rely on. For example, when you are issued a driver's license, it's with the expectancy that you will adhere to the traffic rules and regulations such as, stopping at a red light. Just a few short days ago, Joe Biden became the 46th president of the United States. Last Wednesday, with a hand on the Bible, he took an oath pledging to honor, defend, and protect the Constitution. Obviously, his promise was not just to a piece of paper with words inscribed on it, but rather to what the words on that paper represent. The Constitution is a contract between the government and each and every citizen of the United States. This is what the president swore to uphold. It's regarded as a truly sacred part of our democracy. We hold and pray that anybody who vows to defend the Constitution will do so no matter what and with no exceptions. And it's important. I mean, the question comes up, why do we need to formalize a promise or an agreement? Why, for example, do we need to get married? Isn't the fact that we love somebody with our whole heart and soul enough? Isn't our love for the other person enough to motivate us, to want us to just go out and do our highest and greatest good for that other person? Do we really have to put a ring on it? And my answer to that this morning is, yeah, we do. For many important reasons. First of all, we are beautifully, magnificently, wondrously, and it's going to be an oxymoron, we are also divinely human. That means we need to feed and we need to be fed. We may not live by bread alone, but there's a reason that we pray, give us our day, our daily bread. It's a prayerful reminder to God, if you will, hey God, we're here and we have this deal going. And who among you during the last 11 months has not gone hug hungry? Our souls long for and cry out for signs, affirmations that we are loved and that we are lovable. In other words, we need currency. We need something that we can take to the spiritual bank. We need something that we can rely upon. When we do something tangible, like give somebody a kiss or a hug, or sit down and dine and share a meal at the same table with somebody, or we dare to say the words with meaning, "I love you," what we really are doing is making a promise. We're making a commitment that stems from our spiritual being. We are participating in honoring a divine contract. And you might say, "Whoa, whoa, Reverend Mike, what are you talking about here? It was, after all, just a kiss. Let's not get carried away." I get that. I really do. You know, there may be a kiss that's worth a dollar. And maybe there's a kiss that's worth $1 million. There may be a kiss that says, "You are my friend. How can I help you?" And there may be a kiss that says, "I am here and will be there for you through good times and bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part." Of course, there aren't kisses that aren't worth a dime. I recall the kiss that Judas came up and planted on Jesus. And there are words of commitment and hugs and handshakes that are nothing more than going through the motions. But these are expressions of counterfeit currency, not worth the lips that they were printed on. In the words of Mary Poppins, it's a pie crust promise, easily made and easily broken. But we can learn if we really try to determine if what is being offered to us is real or counterfeit. And that's a lesson that may take some painful, numerous experiences to find out what is coming to us from the heart of somebody or if it's just coming from their lips. But if we hang in there and we are dedicated to doing it because it's all part of walking our path, we'll be able to eventually see it, feel it, know it, the reality of it, if we really want to. Our co-founders understood the power of covenant. They had actually sat down and wrote one, underscoring their awareness of the God reality in the world and in their lives. They then formally wrote out their shared commitment to that reality. And I want to share with you the words that they wrote. "We, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have, and all we expect to have, to the spirit of truth, and through it, to the society of silent unity. It being understood and agreed that said spirit of truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these things the object of our existence. In the presence of the conscious mind of Christ Jesus, this seventh day of December, 1892. And they both formally signed it. Note how in very short form they laid out their commitment, their expectations, and their chosen path to get it done. They commit to the spirit of truth, and through it, to the society of silent unity. And this is really important. I encourage all of you to put down in writing exactly what you think your deal is with God. And also then to come up with some very real life stage on which you will do your part. Maybe it will be with your family. Maybe it will be where you work. Maybe it will be with your church. Maybe, hopefully, a good number of you will do that with Unity of Fox Valley. But the important thing is that Charles and Myrtle put their teeth into it by getting specific. They took it to a direction in which they could maybe not measure it precisely, but to a place where they could see it manifest, unfold, and grow. Everything I have said is in line and consistent, going back to that ancient covenant of the Hebrew scriptures. I will be your God, and you will be my people. God as law actually is powerless to renege on that promise. It's an open contract that you might sign on to anytime you're ready. It may be like the Israelites. We may be unsure. But I really believe that the goods that I'm trying to sell you today are true. If we can avoid the distractions, all the bells and whistles that are trying to get us to commit our true currency, our souls, to them, and if we instead we choose to invest in the reality that there's just one source, one power in the universe and in our lives, we have an opportunity to make the deal of a lifetime. A little while ago, we were given a gift. Six members of our church family made a promise. They sacramentalized, they made sacred their commitment to you by saying that they will respond to the call of Spirit to minister to you by serving on the board of trustees for the next 12 months. But every covenant is a two-party deal. So the question comes up, what is yours to do in response to this pledge? We, in turn, publicly blessed them. The work that they will do to honor their commitment will play out for them individually in many different ways. If you truly want to do your part and put some teeth in the blessing that you gave them, at the bare minimum, there should be a commitment on your part to support them as best as you can. And maybe this takes place in the form of prayer. Maybe this takes place with a thank you when you see them, or we are grateful and we're relying upon you, whatever. This would be the bare minimum. Yesterday, we had our annual board retreat, and I thanked each of them, and I made a promise of my own. I told them that this morning I would do my utmost to inflict some good old-fashioned Catholic guilt on you to try to get you to step up as volunteers at our church. In one sense, I was kidding, of course. I don't want to inflict serious guilt on anybody for any reason. But I do want to challenge you this morning. Each and every one of you, without exception, has God-given talents. Those talents are actually calls from Spirit inviting you to sign onto that eternal covenant of I will be your God and you will be my people. Last week, an email blast went out outlining the many areas of service at our church and inviting you to consider becoming involved in something. And so today I just ask you to go back and take another look. If you have questions about anything, you can get in touch with Bobby. If you are unsure, take it to prayer and with an open heart, ask the question, is there something here that I am being called to do, or what is mine to do? And maybe you'll be in that place of, you know what, not with what's going on in my life right now. Work is pulling and tugging, and you know, I've got issues with my family and this and that, and I just don't have the time. And you know what? That's perfectly okay. It really is. But remember, a kiss may be worth only a dollar. But if it's real, it's still worth something. And maybe at the least, you can dip a toe in the water and say, I'm going to the next men's group meeting just to see what the heck is going on there and what it's all about. Or maybe, you know, I really do care about our environment. I really do. Maybe I'll contact the Green Team and see if there's something that I could do, I don't know, every month or two. Those dollar kisses have a way of growing into a really rewarding relationship. And before you're done, it could be worth millions. More importantly, each little step moves you a bit along, further along your spiritual path, and brings you a bit closer to the divine covenant of I will be your God and you will be my people. It may be possible to be spiritual but not religious, but you cannot be truly spiritual if you never get off your spiritual arse. I know we have people at our service that are not members of our congregation. Furthermore, thanks to Zoom, we have people who are literally hundreds of miles away. And to you, I also have a few words to share this morning. First of all, you really bless us by being with us. You enhance our spiritual experiences and our spiritual journeys. Some of you have been with us going all the way back to last March. And in a real way, it gives us meaning. Let me also say to you that much of the words that I give to our church family apply to you as well. It is possible you may not be able to serve on the Green Team or participate in our youth program, but there are opportunities for you to invest in this God covenant. Wherever you are, you can sit down and draft your own written agreement with Spirit. And to whatever you choose to do, you can then bring that richness back to Unity of Fox Valley and everyone else that you come in contact with in your life. The opening of the Gospel of John is so appropriate for today. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Think of that as a kiss or a hug or an I love you from God. A gift that grew into God. God with skin on. A way shower that we can point to and see that God is all in on the deal. And if you wonder what is yours to do or to be if you sign on to this eternal covenant, it is just this. You too are the Word of God made flesh. Or at least you are if you want to be. And with that, I invite you now. Let's take this into prayer and to meditation.